Whew, anybody else feel like a liar when we sang that line? Having all your conflicts passed? Whew. You didn't think about it, did you? I know this song. I'm just going to sing these words. Well, good news. This morning, we are going to talk about the times in our active pursuit of Christ in which we are conflicted, in which we do struggle, in which us reaching our goal of Christ and growing our lives into His, from time to time we struggle, we stumble, we get off track, we get frustrated, we get dejected. We ask ourselves, wait a minute, how could anyone sing a line in a song at church that claims all of our conflicts are over? Well, today, as we see in the scriptures, I hope we can get a little closer to that. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father, today we're going to read from your word. And I pray that you give us understanding. I pray that you give us strength to trust what you say. And I pray, Lord, that when our lives don't look like what you describe, that you give us faith to trust you and not our own experience, not our own understanding. Father, we praise your name because you are greater than our understanding. You made us. You know us. You know what we should look like. You know what we aspire to. And you fill us with all things to get there. So I ask, Father, that today you open our eyes as we live our lives actively pursuing the life of Jesus. We praise your name and we thank you for always answering. Through our Lord and Savior's holy name, amen. You're already in Romans. Terry took us to chapter 5. Go back to Romans if you closed it. We're going to be in Romans today. The book of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes to the church and really just lays out Christian theology from beginning to end. And this morning, I thought it was important that we need to address the fact that in our pursuit of Christ, sometimes we have to go back to the beginning. Because you and I just get rolling along in our Christian faith and our Christian walk, and sometimes we find ourselves in a place that is unrecognizable, or we don't have the strength or the vigor that we once did. And we start to question and ask, why doesn't it work like it did? Why doesn't it feel the same as it once did? What went wrong? Or where did I go wrong? Paul in Romans, he lays this out for us, and he starts at the very beginning of the letter, and he just lets the world know, hey, look, here's where you find yourself. Everybody sins. Everybody sins. And God has made a plan for that. And I love Terry's reading in chapter 5 that he said, look, Adam comes into the world, and he sins, and everybody after him, they just followed in his footsteps. And so everybody sinned. But then God sends his Son into the world, and he lives a righteous life, and everybody after him gets to follow in righteousness. And so we're going to come to chapter 6, Because Paul just makes this statement and he says, look, if you are going to live the Christian life, if you are going to trust God for your salvation and for every step of the way, you need to understand something. He says, you need to understand that a death is necessary. The death of Jesus is necessary to pay the price for our sins, and our death is necessary to connect with Him. And so in Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read a couple verses starting in verse 1. So what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So Paul says, look, and in the chapter before that, he's answering the rhetorical argument. Well, if all the sin of all the world was all paid for by the sacrifice of Jesus, and if God's response to the world's sin is grace, and we know that's a beautiful and amazing thing, well, let's just sin it up. Because if some sin in my life brings some grace of God, well, then a bunch of sin in my life just brings a bunch of grace from God. So let's just sin, right? Now, you have never had that thought in your entire life, but some of these Christians had, and so Paul has to address that. And that's what he does in chapter 6, and he says, we can't think that way. We can't think that way because we have died to sin. It's where we were before, but that's not where we are now. We no longer live there. So just as Christ died, we too have died in our baptism. That's what happens when we are baptized into Christ Jesus. The old us, the sinful us, the us of flesh, dies with Him so that we can be raised with Him and walk in this new life. All right. So chapter 6 says we have died to sin. Then we go forward to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, verse 6, he says, but now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. Okay, so chapter 6, Paul says, we've died to sin, right? It's not where we live anymore. In chapter 7, he says, we died to the law. We died to the law. So we're no longer serving and being obedient and giving our lives to God, following all of these written rules and these written code. Instead, now we are living our life being led by the very Spirit of God. Now, that in itself, and you just need to go back and read Romans from time to time. In fact, a wise man once told me, if you're not reading the book of Romans start to finish a few times a year, you're probably going to be in trouble. So get yourself in Romans, if you haven't read it in a while, all the way through. This lesson's not all the way through. We're just taking a look at one part of this, all right? But it is amazing wisdom and understanding to say, look, we no longer live with our relationship by saying, okay, well, God gives me the law and I'm going to follow the law and I'm going to do everything right and I'm going to do this right and this right, and God says to do this in the Old Testament and He says to do this in the Old Testament. But instead now, we are learning to walk by the Spirit. We've died to the law and everything He said, because what does the law say? The law says, here's the rules, and if you don't do them, you're cursed. It's kind of harsh, right? And none of us can follow the law. So God had to make a way for us to live and to walk in a new way. So we've died to sin and we've died to law. So now we're in this great place where our sins are forgiven and we are filled with the Spirit of God, and we are just just rocking along and living our life, and we are actively pursuing Jesus, and our goal is heaven, and it is just, it's all just wonderful and fantastic, and the good news just fills our heart and fills our soul, and we are joyful, and we are happy, and we are sharing, and we are loving, and we're doing all the things, and it's fantastic. Until it's not. Today we're going to deal with the times in our life when we are following Jesus and it's not fantastic. And even in our active pursuit of Christ, sometimes it's necessary for us to go back to the beginning and see, okay, where did I go wrong? Because I come together and I read these things and it's not what I'm going through. And I come together, we come together, and well, Michael says these things and that's not my experience. What is wrong with me? Right? Okay. Let's go down in chapter 7 and let's go down to verse 14. Because you and I have all experienced what the Apostle Paul is describing for us here. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm of the flesh. Sold under sin. For I don't even understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Now, who among us cannot relate to what Paul is describing? I want so much to be faithful to God, but I'm not there yet. I want all of my life to look like Jesus, but there's some parts that don't. That's frustrating. And sometimes we look up at God and say, wait a minute, God, you forgave me of my sins. I died to my old life. I've been reborn in Christ. It should all just be easier than it is, right? That path that we talk about should just, there's no stumbling. He has leveled our path and my focus is on Christ and I am actively pursuing Him. There should be no bumps along the way. There should be no problems. Did Jesus encounter any problems while here on earth? Did he hit any bumps along the way? He absolutely did. So it's kind of interesting when you and I say, God, come on, fix my path, it should be easier. Fix my life, it should be simpler. I mean, I want to focus on you, I want to trust you, and I want to be faithful in all things, but just everything just keeps getting in the way. It's when we look to Christ. That's the one we're actively pursuing. What did Christ do when things got in the way? What did Christ do when he had enemies chasing him? What did Christ do when he had close friends reject him or leave him alone? What did Christ do when he was in pain and suffering? What did Christ do when he was dying? That's what we're pursuing. That's what we're pursuing. All right, where are we at, 19? All right, so he ended 18 and he says, I do have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. So now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Verse 21, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Okay. So, you and I have died to sin, we've died to the law, we're Christians now, we are committed to Jesus, and in our minds, we know the right thing to do. In our minds, we know, I mean, we don't have to wear those bracelets that were popular a few years ago, WWJD. What would Jesus do, right? We know this. We live our life and we know in our minds, hey, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, he would love other people and he would forgive those who hurt him and he would give of what he had. We know what Jesus would do. And so Paul says, look, right here, I know the good thing to do. But I find that as I live my life, the flesh is still getting me. In our minds, we know we want to be pleasing God. But in our flesh, we do the wrong. In our flesh, we sin. And so he comes to the conclusion, this is horrible. I am a wretched man. I mean, I want so much for God to look at me and say, yeah, that's what it looks like. He's one of mine. He's living like Jesus did. And Paul says, I try and I try and I try. I just get caught in this cycle. And it's probably safe to say that some of us here this morning have found ourselves caught in that cycle. We want so bad to please our Father in heaven. We want so bad to give him our lives of obedience for all the good that he has given us. And yet we still miss the mark. And we still have areas of our life that are just not faithful. We have areas of our life where we are afraid, where we're scared, where we sin, where we don't do the right thing, where we say things that we shouldn't say, where we're not good to those around us. And much like Paul, we just look up to God and go, I really do want to follow you. Don't give up on me. I want to actively pursue Christ, but I just keep seeing these things in my life that are not perfect yet. Church, we have to get to the place that we just confess to ourselves that we can't try to be better. That's not the solution. The solution is not, well, I messed up yesterday, so I'll try again tomorrow. And we tell ourselves this all the time, right? Oh, boy, I was talking to my wife, and I did not put her needs above my own. I'll try better. I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try harder. And we convince ourselves, and we get this self-help mentality of all I got to do is try harder. All I got to do, I have to be better. Trying to be better is not the solution. Working harder is not the solution. So what's the solution that Paul has already told us? We've already read it, and you already know where I'm going. You got to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself. And that's what I mean by going back to the beginning. My mind is devoted to Christ. He's all I want. He's all I desire. He is everything to me. And yet, in my life, things aren't perfect. In my life, things don't always align with what he wants. And I just have this, ugh. Paul says the solution was back at the beginning. It can't be you trying to be like Jesus. The Apostle Paul would write and say, look, here's what I figured out. It can't be me because I no longer live, but instead it's Jesus who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ, right? I died. I don't play around with sin. I don't live that life anymore because I died to sin. I don't live my life going, okay, all right, well, I know what God says about that. I got to do that. I'm going to make him happy. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to follow that rule. I'm going to get this right. No, I died to the law. In the same way, all right, God, I was really good today. You're loving me, right? I'm one of the good ones. No. Mm-mm. We don't go back to that system, that way of thinking. We don't go back to thinking that, oh, boy, whether it's positive or negative, that relationship with our Creator has been changed. It's been changed, so I can no longer look at Him in that way because He no longer looks at me that way. When He looks at you, what does He see? He sees a beloved child who has been redeemed by the blood of His own Son. God looks at me and He sees Jesus. Not because I'm a perfect representation of Jesus. I'm not. I'm actively pursuing. I want to be there because I know that's the best place to be. But when He sees me, He doesn't go, oh, yeah, there's Michael. Whew, messed up again. He's such a disappointment. No, He looks at me and He says, hey, that's one of mine. That's my kid. Anybody that's ever had kids in here, you ever been proud of one of your kids? You ever been disappointed in one of your kids? What? Oh, now we're pointing fingers. Yes, I have a list. Here it is. Here it is. Yeah. We tend to project ourselves to our Father and think that He's looking at us like that, right? Like however good today was, that's how much God loves me. God's better than that. God's better than that. Now, take a look at chapter 8. Because if we've died, what now? What now? If my life is over, what do I replace it with? Because I'm still living, right? I have died to sin and the law, and I have been raised with Christ. Now remember, our mind, we know what's right. Our lives doesn't always line up. Our actions, our words, they don't always line up. But we know right here, yes, I belong to God. Yes, I am following Christ. So in chapter 8, he says, okay, well, here's what we're going to fill it with. Chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Just let that sink in, okay? Paul says, if you are in Christ Jesus, you've died to sin, you've died to the law, you have put your faith in the death of Jesus for the salvation and the forgiveness of your sins. You are in Christ. You and I are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation. The law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of death. We were dead. Not anymore. Now we're alive. Now we're alive. Okay, this is starting to get good. Verse 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for the purpose of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. All right, so church, we are in Christ, and this is the new law we live. This is it. The sin in our flesh is condemned. The sin in our flesh is condemned. But what do we read in the first verse? There's no condemnation for us. The sin that our flesh commits, that's condemned. Sin is condemned. It's not good. We don't keep walking in it. We don't keep living in it. But it happens. I don't want it to happen. My mind belongs to God. I want to do what's right. I want to be faithful. I've decided to follow Jesus. Mark, is that the invitation song? It doesn't have to be. I'm just curious. We all sing that one too, right? I have decided to follow Jesus, but then, something else happens. With our minds, we have decided to follow Jesus. And because we have decided to follow Jesus, we are no longer condemned. The sinful things that I do, that's condemned. That's not going to last. That's not going to stay. It's done. It's done. So this is the whole new law that God set up for us. We are not condemned along with our sin. That's kind of a big deal, right? Our minds are now set on the things of the Spirit. Christ is in us. The body of sin is dead, but the Spirit of life dwells in us. Now I know, there may be a few of us going, how do I live with both of these things going on, right? How do I handle these things? Well, if you're still trying to live in both of these things, you're going to struggle. Again, we have to go back to Paul's solution. What is Paul's solution? My death. I have to die. I have to die. And praise be to God, he said, hey, I'm going to give you a way to die and yet still live. Really? Because I think I'd like that one. I would love to not have to die. Death is not fun. Death is not pleasant. And you're telling me that there's a way that I can die but then not die? There's a way that I can die but then never die? He said, yeah, because of what Christ went through, you can connect to that death through your baptism. That God, God really is giving us an easy way out, if you will. But when I chose that way, when I chose to allow my old life of sin to die, when I chose to put to death that old way of thinking that I'm going to follow all these rules and God's going to love me. That I'm going to get it as right as I can possibly get it and, He'll take care of the rest. No. I died. I died. And what did God do with that? When I said, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is your one and only Son. And He was with you and you made it so that He could come here and live in a body of flesh, just like me. Except living in the flesh, He was perfectly faithful. He did everything right. He looked at you at every turn. He did exactly what you said for Him to do. He trusted you in every difficult situation. He stood toe to toe with the enemy. And He won. And He trusted you so much that it didn't matter what happened to His body. And so you took that body and you hung it on a cross. And He died. And they put His body in the ground and you didn't leave it there. And Father, I believe that His death paid the debt for all the sin that I have done. I trust in you for my salvation. And so I heard and I believed that story and I said, yes, that's what I want. I want Jesus paying the price for my sins. And so I responded and I died to myself. And I was baptized into Christ Jesus because I knew the beginning of Romans. I'm a sinner. I understand it. I get it. I am wretched. I'm horrible. I'm awful. Not a good example. And so I died to myself. And now that I have been raised, filled with the Spirit of Christ, my mind says I'm going to live for Jesus. My mind says I am going to actively pursue Christ. I'm going to do what he did. I'm going to say what he said. I'm going to live how he lived. I'm going to pray how he prayed. I'm going to reach others how he reached others. I'm going to give like he gave. I'm going to share like he shared. I'm going to love like he loved. And yet yesterday I didn't do that. Today I haven't done that. How do you do it? Matt read for us in chapter 12. Just a couple verses there. Because this is the key to everything. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your what? Your mind." Be transformed. Be changed. I want to be changed. Into what? Into more like Jesus. I want more of him and less of me. I want all of him and less of me. None of me. Sorry. There we go. I want all of Jesus. Because I know me. Me's no good. But thanks be to God, he's good. And so I want him dwelling here. So every day, what do I have to do? I have to renew my mind. That's the key. That's the key to actively pursuing Christ, just like all of us want to do. Start the day. Lord, it's a new day. I give you my life. I give you my mind. May I think like Jesus thinks today. May I see things as Jesus sees things today. May I live in obedience to you, just like Jesus does. And we ask the Father, Father, today, remind me at every turn that I have died to sin. If I've died to sin, that's not an option. That's not an option. I've died to that. I mean, can I literally continue to do things that are against God's will? Yes, you literally can do that. My flesh can. But that's not what I choose today. I've got my mind set on Christ. And so, Father, I need you to renew my mind every day. Every hour. And the hits keep coming. I got the song stuck in there. Renew your mind. Decide again. And you know what? Some days and some situations, you're going to have to renew your mind hourly. Lord, I want to follow you. I don't want to do that anymore. And then, oh, I did it. Father, renew my mind. I don't want to think about those bad things anymore. And there they are. Renew your mind. Decide again. Refresh. The computers do it, right? You ever hit the refresh button on your browser? Yeah. Just like that. That's what we do. Church, if we're not renewing our minds, you know what happens? The enemy takes the opportunity. Oh, you're not going to renew your mind? I got you. Because now I'm going to let you spend all of your energy trying to go back to your old self. Now I'm going to try to convince you that you really are still worthless. That you really are bound by sin, ruled by sin. Satan wants you to join him in a place of death. And God says, I've set you free from that. So let's not play there anymore. I've set you free from those things. So let's not make our home there anymore. Transformed by the renewal of your mind. Church, in our minds, we live by the Spirit of God. And we decide today that Jesus is Lord. We decide today. We decide. We get up and say, this is who God is. This is what God has done. And this is what He has made me. That's my decision. Now, do we always perfectly stick to our decisions? No. No. You ever made a resolution? You ever made a promise to somebody? Right? I mean, we break them all the time. Oh, sorry I'm late. Well, it was only 2 minutes. Yeah, right, good. It was only 2 minutes, no big deal. But you said you'd be here at 8. It's 8:02. It's not 8. We break our promises all the time. We break our word all the time. We mess up all the time. And that's in our flesh. Our minds belong to God. Our minds, we decide over and over and over and over again. So, here's my challenge to you this week. When you get stuck, when you get beat down, you don't try harder. You don't say, well, you know, I'm gonna do better at that. You don't have to make promises. Because your flesh can't fulfill those things. So this week, when you stumble, you got to remember, I've died. It's no longer me and my flesh. But my mind is set on the new law of the Spirit. And that law of the Spirit means I'm alive. I'm not condemned for my actions. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Son of Jesus. And I'm going to act like it. That's how I'm going to live. That's where I'm going to walk. That's what I'm going to do. And yeah, in my flesh, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to mess it up. And what do? Very quickly. It's not me. That's not who I want to be. And that's not who the Father in heaven says that I am. I'm going to be who He says I am. Not who I say I am. I'm not going to listen to the flesh anymore. On the temptation side or the condemnation side, I'm going to let my Father declare I'm His beloved child. I'm going to let my Father speak into my heart through His Spirit and let me know that I am not condemned. I'm alive. I am free. My home is with Him, and I will actively pursue every day that He gives me. So, while you're pursuing, if you get stuck, if you fall on your face, if you backtrack, there's your solution. Renew your mind. Because you and I know, our minds, we want to be faithful. We want to do what's right. We want to be good. And yet, we're not. So renew your mind. All right. If you need to follow all of that story today, and you need to respond to the good news, we're here to help.